This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I remember the first time leaving Medina, and I immediately remember the story of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and how Bilal radiallahu anhu could not stand to be in Medina with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam no longer there. He had such a difficult time giving the adhan. He could not look in a place without seeing the Prophet ﷺ, remembering the Prophet ﷺ. And he asked Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to send him out in battle. And he would not do the adhan again until Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would enter into Jerusalem, and he would give the adhan there just as he gave it in Mecca and Medina. Why did I think about this at that point? Because you realize when Bilal radiallahu anhu is dying, that it wasn't that Bilal radiallahu anhu could not really stand to be in Medina anymore without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He really could not stand being in this world anymore without the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the closest we get to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to Medina, and his grave is there, and the footprints of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are there. But the closest that the companions got were literally with him in the flesh, alayhi salatu wasalam, alive in this earth for all of those years, and he was gone. And how do you know that with Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu? I mean, there are years that pass between the death of the Prophet ﷺ and the death of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He lives until the Amwas plague. And as he is passing away, his wife is crying and she's saying, "Wa huzna, what a horrible day this is, what grief I am in." And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to her, "Bal quli wa farha." Say, what a great day this is and what great joy this is. He says, غَدًا نَلْقَ الْأَحِبَّةِ مُحَمَّدًا وَحِزْبًا. He said, tomorrow I get to meet my beloved ones, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions. I can't wait to meet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam again. So subhanAllah, it wasn't just being in Medina anymore and the imagery of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the memory of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or saying أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ in Medina anymore, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's grave right there. Bilal would spend the rest of his life longing for the moment to be reunited with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is something that the companions felt. When Aisha radiallahu anha, I mean, you can imagine our mother Aisha when she was passing away, how much she loved the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and how close she was to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when she was passing away, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma came to visit her, and Aisha did not want Ibn Abbas to come in and praise her. She was worried. She's like, he's going to come in. He's an eloquent man. He's going to say all of these words of praise. And Aisha radiallahu anha wanted to be in a place of taqwa, in a place of remembering Allah and seeking forgiveness in her last moments of life. And Ibn Abbas came in and he says, how are you, my mother? And Aisha radiallahu anha says, I'm well so long as I'm upon taqwa, right? To immediately establish that she wants to seek forgiveness with these last moments that she has in life, that she doesn't want to be praised. But what does Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma do? He reminds her, you were the favorite wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he starts to mention her fada'il, mention her virtues. You are the one on whose behalf Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, revealed ayat to defend your honor. You were the one who used to be with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on his journeys. You were with him in his most intimate moments. He loved you. He spoke of you this way. So he mentioned her fada'il. And then he says to her that, Abshiri ya ummi, glad tidings to you, O my mother. Nothing is left between you being reunited with the Prophet ﷺ except for your soul to leave your body. Except that your ruh, that's exactly what he said, your ruh will leave your jasad. Your soul will leave your body. As if to say, your body is the barrier right now between you and the Prophet ﷺ. And we all know how much Aisha radiallahu anha would have longed to be with the one, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who died in her lap and who was buried in her room, alayhi salatu wassalam. What does this mean for us? Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that the righteous souls of bliss, of goodness, that they visit one another and discuss what happened in the world as freely and as fluidly, in fact, more so than they would in this world. And he says that every soul in the barzakh keeps the company of those that they love and those that were like them. Now, how does he reconcile this? Because this is extremely powerful. You know, when the Prophet ﷺ talked about the souls before we got to the short world, he said, "Al-arwah junudun mujannada," that the souls were like conscripted soldiers in the realm of souls, right? So those that had an affinity to one another there, they have a natural affinity to one another here. And those that have a natural aversion to one another there, they have a natural aversion to one another here as well. And what that's referring to is that in the realm of souls, where we didn't have these bodily dimensions, right? The righteous souls were together, the wicked souls were together, right? And so the souls interacted with one another in that iteration of alam al-arwah, in that iteration of the realm of souls, without the limitations of this world. So you might find someone that is just like you, or you might not find them, but they're there, right? They have the same attitude as you. They might even look like you. They have your same characteristics. They have your same priorities, very similar level of faith or whatever it may be. But you're limited in distance and things of that sort. But when it comes to alam al-arwah, and the second iteration of alam al-arwah, which is barzakh, the realm of souls, which is that next realm of barzakh, those restrictions are not like the restrictions in this life. And so, anta ma'man ahbabt, you are with those who you love, that you could have been with in this physical realm, and you are with those that you love that you never even got to meet. You are with the people that you love, and the arwah al-mu'mineen, the believing souls, gather with one another. And that's why our greatest hope when we think of the righteous that passed before us, and we hope that they are amongst the righteous, our immediate loved ones, that they're amongst those souls that receive us. And we also hope that the Prophet and the companions who we read about and we love so much, his family, alayhi salatu wasalam, who we love so much, that they'll be amongst those to greet us as well. Now, is this established in any clear-cut hadith? In fact, multiple ahadith. And that is, you know, a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentions the soul first and foremost ascending the gates, the illiyin. Remember, it has to go get registered with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a righteous soul. And the angels are passing through the heavens, passing the soul from gate to gate. And the angels say, "Ma atyaba hadhihi ar-rih allati ja'atkum min al-ard." What a beautiful smell that has come from the earth. Remember, the Prophet ﷺ smelled the scent of the hairdresser of the daughter of Fir'aun, that righteous young girl, on the night of Isra al-Mi'raj. What is that beautiful smell? And so when the righteous soul, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them, is ascending through the heavens, the angels comment on the beautiful smell. مَا أَطْيَبَ هَذِهِ الرِّيحِ. What a beautiful smell that has come from the earth. And then that person settles their new home, the grave that we talked about, right? After you have been dressed, after you have been given your expanse, after you've been given your light, after you've been given your window into Jannah, guess what? Now the visitors are to come. Okay, وَيَأْتُونَ بِهِ أَرْوَاحِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And the Prophet ﷺ says that the souls of the believers start to gather upon that person. They start to come to visit that person, to receive that person. وَلَهُمْ أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ بِغَائِبِهِ. And they are more delighted to see you than one of you when you receive your long lost loved one. That's how the souls of the believers are. And so the ones that you missed, the ones that you never even met, they're all coming upon you. They're receiving you. You're seeing those people that you used to see in the masjid, that you used to see in righteousness, and they're waiting for you, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And then they start to ask, ماذا فعل فلان؟ ماذا فعل فلان؟ You know, what happened to this person? What happened to that person? And they keep on asking questions. So everyone is trying to get news of the world because they're disconnected from this world now. So ماذا فعل فلان؟ ماذا فعل فلان؟ What happened to this person? Imagine a family and the second parent has died now. Or three siblings and two siblings have now died. Or three best friends or four best friends and two of them are now in this world and two are left behind. So what are they doing? Immediately, hey, what happened to that person? What happened to that person? And Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says they even will ask who got married, who didn't get married, what happened to this person's family, what happened to that person's family, how is their situation, how is their situation? So they have the memories of this world, and that's an important point. They haven't lost the memories of this world. And they're so quick, or they're descending upon you, and everyone is trying to get your time, that some of them will say, "Da'uhu fa'innahu kana fi gham ad-dunya." You know, leave him alone, let him get some rest, let her get some rest, because they were in the hardships of this world. They've just been through that transition. Give them some time before everyone asks about the news of this world and everyone descends upon them. And then as those conversations proceed, and this is the scary part, they start to ask about someone, and you say, if you are the deceased person, you say, wait, didn't they come to you? Didn't that person already die? I mean, and come to you? They died before I got here. And they realize in the midst of that conversation that that person, ما جاء بروح ذلك إلينا, that that person's soul was not brought to us. And so the conclusion is what? ذهب إلى أمه الهاوية. That that person instead must be amongst the tormented souls. That they are amongst the people who are being punished. Because the people that are being punished are not given the blessing of being united with one another the way the believing souls are. They're too busy with their punishment. And this is a really important point here. It's a scary conversation. Imagine if you're left out of that conversation, right? Because we don't know our fate. And then the person who died 3 years ago and the person who died last year, they're talking about someone that died in between and that person is missing. And they say, subhanAllah, that person is gone. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. What if you're that person, right? And that's a thought that you have to think about. And I don't say that to instill despair. I say that to say that, you know, when we think about those that we assume righteousness of that passed away before us and those who we know were righteous before us, like the Prophet and his companions, what good is knowing of their state if we're not going to join them? What good is it to comfort them and do good deeds on their behalf and to ask about them and to wonder what's happened to them if we are not striving to be the most righteous version of ourselves so that we can assure that we're not left out of that conversation or left out of that blessed gathering?